طيب بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. So inshallah we're going to be continuing with the tafsir of Surah Al-Takathur, and we've already covered the first two ayahs of this surah, Al-Hakum Al-Takathur Hatta Zurtum Al-Maqabir. And last week we talked about the second ayah, Hatta Zurtum Al-Maqabir, until you visit the graveyards, and we talked specifically about what happens to an individual when he's buried. So this different realm that he's in when he's in the grave, which is known as Al-Barzakh, and what happens to the individual, what happens to the believer when he's in the grave in Al-Barzakh, what happens to the disbeliever. And we went into some of the ahadith that talk about this state and what happens to the person. And inshallah today we're going to finish off the tafsir of this surah, and we're going to go on and move on to the third ayah of this surah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after he talks about how a person will compete in this world in worldly increase, al-hakum al-takathur, competition in worldly increase distracts you, hatta zurtum al-maqabir, how long will it distract you for? Until you visit the graveyards, meaning until death comes to you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the third ayah, he says, kalla sawfa ta'lamun. No, you are going to know. Kalla sawfa ta'lamun. Now the word for no is la. The word for no is la. Here, kalla is mentioned. The kaf is added to show emphasis. So, no, for sure, you're going to know. For a surety, you're going to know. So who is being spoken to here? When Allah says, no, you are going to know, who is being spoken to? One of the scholars, Al-Dhahhak, he says that this ayah is specifically talking about the disbelievers. Kalla sawfa ta'lamun. No, you are going to know. Now, when are they going to know? It's not specifically mentioned, but it's understood that what's meant is when a person dies and when he enters into the graveyard, that's when he's going to know the reality of his actions. He's going to know the consequences of competing in materialistic things. And the fact that, you know, him competing in worldly increase with other people in this dunya hasn't benefited him at all. So it's a promise for the disbelievers that they'll come to know the result of busying themselves away from the disobedience or away from the obedience of Allah once they're in their graves, once they're buried. And the scholars, they talk about what a person will know. Kalla sawfa ta'lamun. What is a person going to know? What is this thing that a person is going to know? And they say it can be death. It can be talking about death here. Allah can be talking about death itself. So when death comes, that's when they'll realize that it hasn't benefited them. Also, he said that this means the day of judgment itself. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he moves on to the fourth ayah, and he repeats the same ayah, but he just adds an extra word. He says, ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ. Then know you are going to know. So then know you are going to know. So the same ayah is repeated, but it's repeated, but with this extra word, thumma, which means then. It's said that the Arabs, if they want to sound more intimidating or they want to put emphasis on something, they'll repeat it more than once. They'll say it two or three times. And this is the same in any language. You know, even in English, if somebody wants to repeat something, if somebody wants to emphasize something, he'll repeat it more than once. You know, he'll say it two or three times. So this is what's happening here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is repeating this ayah a second time as emphasis. It's also said by some of the scholars that the previous ayah, kalla sawfa ta'lamun, is talking about the disbelievers. This ayah, some of the scholars, they say, this ayah is talking about the believers. ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ is talking about the believers. So the first was talking about the disbelievers, and the second was talking about the Muslims themselves. Okay, and this could also mean that it's talking about the hereafter, because the disbelievers will enter into hellfire, and that's when they're going to know, on the day of judgment. ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ يعني the Muslims will also know that they will enter into Jannah in the hereafter. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, once he mentions this and he repeats this ayah with this, addition in the fourth ayah, Then in the fifth ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Kalla law ta'lamuna 'ilma al-yaqin." Know if you only knew with knowledge of certainty. Kalla in this surah is mentioned three times. The word kalla is mentioned three times. And it's mentioned three times to rebuke and to, you know, rebut and put down those people who attain worldly gains. Like in the first ayah, when Allah says, you know, the worldly interests and materialistic things are distracting you when you're competing in materialistic things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is repeating this word, kalla, three times to put down and to rebuke those people who attain worldly gains and abandon the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and abandon the worship of Allah azza wa jal. And Imam al-Tabari, he talks about ilmul yaqeen. Because this ayah, it says, كَلَّا لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ. Know if you only knew عِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ. عِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ is knowledge of certainty. Knowledge of certainty. And Imam al-Tabari, he talks about this عِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ, this knowledge of certainty, and he mentions a narration by Qatada radiallahu anhu. He says that كُنَّا نُحَدِثْ أَنْ عِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ, he says, we used to talk about عِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ and we used to say that عِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ is أَنْ يَعْلَمْ أَنَ اللَّهَ بَعَثَهُ بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ. That عِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ is knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise the person after death. He's going to resurrect him after he dies and after he passes away. And it's also said that عِلْمُ الْيَقِينَ is firm knowledge that corresponds to reality that there's no doubt in. And this can also mean that what is referred to in this ayah and in the previous ayahs is death itself. Okay, because there's no doubt in death. Whether you're a Muslim, whether you're a non-Muslim, everyone knows that eventually death is going to come. You are going to die. So, you know, that gives some weight to that opinion that what's referred to here is death itself. So, again in this ayah, كَلَّا لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ, some of the scholars say it's referring to the disbelievers, because if we're talking about the opinion that these ayat are talking about the hereafter, the believers already know about the hereafter. They already have عِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ, certain knowledge about the hereafter that is going to take place. Okay, and others say that it's referring to everyone because it's talking about death in and of itself. So, what is this certain death, or this certain knowledge, علم اليقين, that's mentioned here? What is it specifically referring to? Some say it's death itself, as we mentioned. Some say it's the resurrection after a person dies and is buried, and then he's raised up on the day of judgment, because then obviously no one has any doubts about, you know, the resurrection and about the reality of life. And others say it's the truth. It's talking about the truth. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala moves on to the sixth ayah, and he says, كَلَّا لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ, know if you only knew with knowledge of certainty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمَ, لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمَ, you will surely see the hellfire. Now, the noon in لَتَرَوُنَّ is mentioned as an emphasis. It's mentioned to emphasize that for sure you're going to see the hellfire. Okay, without it, it would basically be latarawul jahim. You are going to see the hellfire. But the noon is mentioned here to emphasize, to show that for sure you will surely see the hellfire. And there's two ways of reciting this specific ayah. The general way is latarawun al jahim, which is how most of the different qiraat is how they recite this ayah. Latarawun al jahim with a fatha on the ta. Latarawun al jahim. Kisa'i, one of the modes of recitation known as Kisa'i, they recite it with a dhamma on the ta. So it's laturawun al jahim. So instead of saying لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمِ, they say لَتُرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمِ. And there's a slight difference in the meaning with these two different types of recitation. The way we recite it, لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمِ, it basically means that you'll see the hellfire with your eyes from a distance. You'll see the hellfire with your eyes from a distance. لَتُرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمِ, when a person says لَتُرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمِ and when he recites it in Kisa'i, it means that you'll be gathered to the fire first, and then you'll see it. So there's a slight difference with regards to, the meaning with these two different types of recitation. And you know, when it comes to different modes of recitation, the meaning can change. The meaning can change, but they'll never conflict. Okay? They'll never conflict. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that for sure, لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمِ, you're going to see al-jahim. What's jahim? Jahim is another name for the hellfire. The hellfire has many names. One of the names of al-jahim is jahannam, of hellfire is jahannam. One of the names is an-nar. One of the names is al-azab. Okay? And another name for hellfire is jahim. And the word jahim itself, literally what this word means, is a place where punishment is taking place which is unbearable. So a place where a person is being punished and there's punishment happening to him, and that punishment is something which is unbearable. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions the word jahim in other places in the Quran, describing hellfire. He says, إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ, that the righteous people will be in na'im, meaning paradise. Okay? وَإِنَّ الْفُجَّارَ لَفِي جَحِيمٍ, and the criminals will be in jahim, will be in hellfire. And it's also said that jahim means a very intense fire, a fire which is very, very intense. In Surah Safat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And He talks about how the villagers, they came together and they came together to make a plan as to how to deal with Ibrahim, because he refuted their idols and he refused to worship their idols, and he started to, you know, rebel basically. And so they said, قَالُوا بْنُ لَهُ بُنْيَانًا فَأَلْقُوهُ فِي الْجَحِيمِ, they said amongst themselves, أُبْنُ لَهُ بُنْيَانًا, make for him a furnace, فَأَلْقُوهُ فِي الْجَحِيمِ, and then throw him into al-jahim. Throw him into Jahim, meaning the very intense fire. So when they made this fire to throw Ibrahim alayhi salam into it, they literally had to throw him. The word that's mentioned here is فَأَلْقُوهُ, throw him fil Jahim, into the fire. Why was he thrown? Because the fire was so huge and it was so intense that they didn't want to push him into the fire, because it wouldn't have been as severe. You know, the outskirts, the edges of the fire won't be as hot. Okay, the most intense part will be in the middle. And so they said, Al-Quhu, throw him, okay, using some type of, you know, equipment, throw him into Al-Jahim, meaning the most intense part of the fire, which is the middle part of the fire. So Al-Jahim again is mentioned in this ayah in Surah Safat. And again in this ayah, لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمِ, it's specifically talking to the disbelievers, because it's discussing what's going to happen and what the consequences will be of those who disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the seventh ayah, ثُمَّ لَتَرَوُنَّهَا عَيْنَ الْيَقِينِ, He says, لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمِ, that for sure you're going to see the hellfire. And then He says, ثُمَّ لَتَرَوُنَّهَا عَيْنَ الْيَقِينِ, then you will surely see it with the eye of certainty. You'll surely see it with the eye of certainty. Imam al-Tabari, he mentioned that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says that this is referring to the people of shirk. He's talking again to the people of disbelief and the people of shirk. And he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ لَتَرَوُنَّهَا عَيْنَ الْيَقِينِ, that you will surely see it with the eye of certainty. What's the eye of certainty? What's عَيْنُ الْيَقِينِ? We've already discussed عِلْمُ الْيَقِينِ, knowledge of certainty. Now Allah is saying the eye of certainty, عَيْنُ الْيَقِينِ. And what the scholars say is what this means is that they will be shown their permanent place in hellfire. Okay, and it's also said, the scholars, they say that this means they will be constantly looking at their place in hellfire. They won't be able to divert their gaze to anywhere else. They'll just be looking at where they're going to be in the hellfire. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from the punishments and the torments of the hellfire. So they're constantly going to be looking at where their abode is and where their place is, where their seat is in the hellfire. And it's also mentioned in In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَرَأَى الْمُجْرِمُونَ النَّارِ فَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ مُوَاقِعُوهَا. And the criminals will see the fire, فَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ مُوَاقِعُوهَا. And they'll be certain that they're going to fall into it. وَلَمْ يَجِدُوا عَنْهَا مَصْرِفَ. And they won't find from it a way out. They won't find any way to escape from the torments and the punishments of Allah and the hellfire. So, عَيْنُ الْيَقِينِ is mentioned here. علم اليقين was mentioned before. And the scholars, they talk about knowledge, and they talk about three stages of knowledge. They say that knowledge is three different stages. And Imam al-Tabari mentions this, and other scholars mentioned this as well. They say that knowledge is of three types, or three stages. The first stage is علم اليقين. What's علم اليقين? What was علم اليقين? Certain knowledge, okay? So, knowledge of certainty, علم اليقين. So, for example, let's go through all of them and then I'll give you some examples. So, the first is علم اليقين, okay? Knowledge of certainty. The second is عين اليقين, okay? The eye of certainty, okay? So, knowledge of certainty is the first one. The second is the eye of certainty. And the third is حق اليقين, which is also mentioned in the Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, He says, وَإِنَّهُ لَحَقُّ الْيَقِينِ. And verily it is the truth of certainty. And He says, إِنَّهُ لَحَقُّ الْيَقِينِ. In another ayah, verily it is true certainty. So it's mentioned in the Quran, حَقُّ الْيَقِينِ. So what do these different types of, these different stages of knowledge actually mean? And we'll give some examples to make it easier for a person to understand. For example, say a person is told, علم اليقين, he's given knowledge of certainty about, for example, a new restaurant that's opened up. Okay, and numerous people come to telling him, you know, this restaurant's got some really nice food, mashallah. So he's hearing from different people about this restaurant, okay, about how nice the food is, or a specific type of food. Okay, so different people are telling him. So this is علم اليقين in a way. Okay, so he's being told about this new restaurant. And then you have عين اليقين, the eye of certainty, which would be, for example, him going and seeing the restaurant for himself. He sees the place and he sees the restaurant. And he goes in and he orders the food and he gets the food in front of him. Aynul yaqeen, he's actually seeing it for himself. And then haqqul yaqeen, what would haqqul yaqeen be? Tasting the food. So he tastes the food, he tries the food and he says, yeah, those guys were telling the truth, this food is good, mashallah. So he tastes the food, that would be haqqul yaqeen. Another example would be paradise and hellfire. This is what the ulama mentioned. So, ilm al-yaqeen is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what His Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam have talked about with regards to the descriptions of paradise and hellfire. So we know, for example, what's awaiting for a person in hellfire. We know what's awaiting for an individual with regards to the blessings and the rewards and the bounties and pleasures of paradise. We know this from the Quran and from the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That would be ilm al-yaqeen. عين اليقين is when you actually see what you're informed of. So you actually there and you see paradise. Well, as this ayah, the previous ayah mentioned, what did it say? لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمِ. That you'll see the hellfire. So عين اليقين would be when you actually see hellfire or when you actually see paradise. حق اليقين in this regard would be when a person actually not only sees paradise, but he's walking amidst paradise. He's walking into paradise. He's smelling the smells of paradise, the perfumes and the musks of paradise. And he's experiencing the delights of paradise. He's tasting the foods of paradise. So that would be considered haqqul yaqeen. Another example is the Kaaba, for example. A person will be told about the Kaaba, how it looks, okay, how high it is, how wide it is. You know, the kiswa, the cloth that's on the Kaaba. He's been told about these things. This would be known as ilmul yaqeen. Aynul yaqeen is when he actually goes for hajj or he goes for umrah. You know, and subhanAllah, you know, when a person goes for the first time and he sees the Kaaba, for those of you who've been, it's something else. It's a different type of feeling. When you actually see the Kaaba for the first time, you know. So that would be aynul yaqeen then. Because now you've seen the Kaaba itself. You've seen what you've been told about. And then haqqul yaqeen would be touching the Kaaba. Touching the Kaaba, touching the cloth of the Kaaba, kissing the black stone, you know, being close to the Kaaba, maybe even going inside of the Kaaba. This would be considered haqqul yaqeen. So these are just some examples of these different types of knowledge, the three different stages of knowledge that the scholars mention. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after He mentions this, after He says, ثُمَّ لَتَرَوُنَّهَا عَنِ الْيَقِينِ, that for sure you're going to see it with the eye of certainty, you're going to see the Jahim, you're going to see hellfire. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He finishes this surah in the 8th ayah, He says, completing this surah, He says, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ, that then you will surely be asked that day about the pleasure or about the bounty. Al-Na'im, which means the pleasure or the bounty. ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُونَ يَوْمَ إِذْنَ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. So again here, Allah is putting emphasis. He's emphasizing that for sure, لَتُسْأَلُونَّ, the noon again is mentioned. ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُونَ يَوْمَ إِذْنَ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. He didn't say ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُوا يَوْمَ إِذْنَ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. He said ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُونَّ, meaning he's putting emphasis on this, that for sure you're going to be asked about the pleasure or about the bounty. And Imam al-Tabari, he says, he goes into detail about what's going to be asked to the slave about the bounty. What is going to be asked about the na'im, al-na'im? What is he going to be asked? He said he's going to be asked about how he got this na'im, this bounty, this pleasure, how he attained it, where he got it from, how did he spend it, what did he do with it. He's going to be asked these specific questions about al-na'im, about the pleasure, about the bounty. So what is na'im? What is this thing that we're going to be asked about? Allah is saying, for sure, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ. For sure, then you for sure are going to be asked about al-na'im. You're definitely going to be asked about al-na'im. So what is this na'im? What is this na'im that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about? Literally, linguistically, the meaning of al-na'im, it's said that na'im refers to what a person tastes of bounties and pleasures that aren't connected to him or his body directly. So for example, you know, a bounty that's connected to him, for example, would be his health. It's connected to him. You know, it's part of him, it's part of his body. Or sleeping, for example. You know, he finds pleasure in sleeping. A person finds pleasure in having good health. You know, when he's strong, he gets pleasure from that. Or the five senses, for example. These things, linguistically, they aren't considered to be an-na'im. Some of the scholars say these aren't considered to be an-na'im. But it's things which aren't connected to the body. For example, when a person drinks water, you know, he gets pleasure from this. When he quenches his thirst, when he drinks water, you know, this is an-na'im. Eating food, for example. Savoring those things that you're proud of. Those things that you get satisfaction from. Those things that you can actually see. Okay? So these are the things that are, you know, talked about with regards to na'im. And this is the linguistic sort of literal meaning of the word itself. So what pleasure and bounty will a person be asked about on the Day of Judgment? What do the scholars actually say? What is this na'im? And it's important for a person to know, because we're going to be asked about this, as Allah says, you know, لَتُسْأَلُونَ, you're going to be asked for sure about this. So what is this na'im? The scholars have differed about what this na'im is referring to. Okay, and there's a number of opinions. There's 8 opinions altogether. Okay, the first is that it's referring to, and na'im is referring to health and security. الصِّحَّةُ وَالْأَمَنِ, health and security. The second is wellness generally, general well-being. Okay, physical well-being, mental well-being, social well-being, financial well-being, just general goodness. You're going to be asked about these things, what you did with them. The third opinion is good health and free time. Good health and free time. This is what is meant by an-na'im. Why is this mentioned as an opinion? Where did they get this from? Good health and free time. Why is this considered an opinion? We've mentioned this before. Specifically about good health and free time. Okay. What would they use as evidence for this? Good health and free time. The Prophet said, hadith about five things. No, there's another hadith more specific. Ni'matani, there are two blessings that many people neglect. We mentioned this in previous class. نِعْمَتَانِ مَغْبُونٌ فِيهَا كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ. There are two blessings, two, and the same word is used, ni'mah, which comes from the same root. نِعْمَتَانِ. Two blessings which people neglect. You know, lots of people will neglect these two blessings. As-sihatu wal-faragh, good health and free time. This is where the scholars get this opinion from. They say these are the two things that a person is going to be asked about. The fifth opinion is some of what a person eats and drinks. And some said that it's specifically his lunch and dinner. And some say it's everything that a person eats. Everything that he's going to eat and drink. Anything that enters into his stomach, he's going to be asked about. So what he eats, what he fills his stomach with, you know, with food and drink. The last opinion is, with regards to what Na'im is referring to here in this ayah, is every single thing that a person is blessed with and is given from the bounties and pleasures of this world. Everything that a person is blessed with in this world, in this dunya. And the scholars say that this is the most correct opinion. The most correct opinion is that he's going to be asked about everything. And we'll mention why, inshallah. Imam al-Tabari, he says that this is the correct opinion because in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't mention anything specific. He just says, an-na'im, the pleasure. So he doesn't mention anything specific. Rather, he's just generalizing. So he's going to ask, and this proves that he's going to ask about everything that a person has been given in this dunya. And the Prophet is mentioned in the hadith in Sahih Muslim that one day he left his house, and it said that he left his house at, you know, a strange time of the day where people don't normally leave. Some say it was after Dhuhr, some say it was because after Dhuhr, obviously in Arabia, in hot climates, you don't go out because it's so hot. You know, people sleep. So it said that he went out at this time. Some say it was at night time. So he went out of his house and he saw Abu Bakr radiallahu an and Umar radiallahu an outside as well. So he said to them, what's brought you out of your houses at this time? And so they said, Al-Jaw, Ya Rasulullah, hunger, O Messenger of Allah. And they were so hungry, and there was nothing in the house that they had to just leave the house, you know, to see if they could get some food from somewhere, subhanAllah. So, and these are the three best people on the face of this earth, subhanAllah. So the Messenger of Allah, he says, by the one who has my soul in his hands, the same thing has caused me to leave my house. And in another narration, it's mentioned that he lifted his garment and he had a rock attached to his stomach. Okay, and this is something that they used to do, you know, just to, you know, trick the brain into thinking that they were full. So they would tie like a rock to their stomach, making it feel like as if they weren't hungry, like as if they were full, which actually shows you how hungry they must have been. You know, the fact that the stomach would have been, you know, there would have been space between the between their chest and their stomach, and the stomach would have been so small that there would have been a gap there for a rock to be put there. And so he said that this is why I've left my house. And so they went to the house of one of the people of the Ansar in Medina. They went to the house of one of the people of the Ansar, but he wasn't home. And as they were walking away, the wife of this man from the Ansar came, and she said to them, Marhaban wa ahlan, يعني, you're most welcome. And the Prophet ﷺ asked, where is so-and-so? Where is this man? And the hadith specifically doesn't mention who this person was. But Imam Qurtubi, he says that this person was someone known as Malik ibn Tayhan. Malik ibn At-Tayhan. And he was known as Abu al-Haytham. And, you know, some of the scholars, they talk about this companion. And they say that one of the you know, things that he's known for is the fact that he had the opportunity to be able to feed these three people, you know, the greatest people on the face of this earth. And so when she was asked, you know, where is this person, she said he's gone to get some fresh water for us. He's gone to collect some water. When he came back, he saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he saw Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu an, and he said, Alhamdulillah, ma ahadul yawm akrama adhiyafan minni. He said, all praise to Allah, no one has more honorable guests today than I have. And I've got the three best people on the face of this earth. So he's thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he goes out and he brings back a bunch of ripe dates, dry dates, and rutab, fresh dates, and he tells them to eat from it. And then he takes a long knife and he's, you know, to slaughter an animal. And the Messenger of Allah, he says to him, beware of slaughtering a milch animal. A milch animal. And a milch animal is basically an animal, a domestic animal, which gives milk. So he's saying, don't slaughter an animal which is providing for you, is giving you something. Okay, so slaughter another animal. So he slaughters an animal, he slaughters a sheep, and they eat and drink until they're satisfied, until they're full. And the Messenger of Allah then turns to his two companions, and this is, you know, the whole point of this story. He turns to his two companions, Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anh, and he says to them, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ. He says, by him in whose hand is my life, لَتُسْأَلُنَّ عَنْ هَذَا النَّعِيمِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. You're going to be asked, you're certainly for sure going to be asked about this bounty on the Day of Judgment. And this is why the scholars talk about that you're going to be asked, what is this na'im? It's specifically food and drink, because they were given food and drink. So he says, you're going to be asked about these things, this bounty, this na'im on the Day of Judgment. أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُيُوتِكُمُ الْجَوْعِ. That hunger brought you out of your houses, ثُمَّ لَمْ تَرْجِعُوا حَتَّى أَصَابَكُمْ هَذَا النَّعِيمِ. And you're not going to return to your homes except that this bounty has come to you, except that you've been blessed with this na'im, with this blessing, that you were actually given this when you left your homes by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam al-Tirmidhi rahimahullah, he mentions a hadith where the Messenger of Allah, he said, by him in whose hand is my life, from the bounties that you'll be asked about on the Day of Judgment are the cool shade that you were under, what you did while you were under that shade, what you were doing, where you were going, you know, where you were walking to, where you were returning from. The cool shade, fresh dates that you have, you know, where did you get them from? You know, how did you purchase them? And cool, refreshing water. These things you're going to be asked about on the Day of Judgment. And also it's mentioned in another hadith, one of the first bounties you will be asked about is that it will be said to you, didn't we make your body healthy and we gave you cool water? So these are from the bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed a person with. He's made him healthy, he's given him a strong, healthy body. And he's given him cool water, ma'un barid. He's given him cold water to drink. Also, the famous hadith, the brother actually referred to it, the five things that the son of Adam won't be dismissed from the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until he's asked about the five things. How his life and how he spent it, how he spent his life, his youth, and how he used it, his wealth, and how he earned it, and how he spent his wealth, and ماذا عمل فيما علم. The fifth thing, how he acted upon the knowledge that he was given. How he acted upon the knowledge that he was given. These things a person will also be asked about. Imam al-Sa'di rahimahullah, he talks about this ayah in his tafsir, and he says that this means, basically, the meaning of this ayah is, did you show gratefulness and thanks for what you had? And did you carry out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rights with what you were blessed with? Did you give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his due rights with every single blessing that you were given? Did you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Did you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or were you someone who was ungrateful, and as a result of it, you're going to be punished because you weren't thankful for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given you? And then he mentions an ayah in his tafsir, وَيَوْمَ يُعْرَضُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا عَلَى النَّارِ أَذْهَبْتُمْ طَيِّبَاتِكُمْ فِي حَيَاتِكُمُ الدُّنْيَا. On the day, وَيَوْمَ يُعْرَضُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. On the day, يَوْمَ يُعْرَضُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. On this day, meaning on the Day of Judgment, those who disbelieved are going to be exposed to the fire. And it will be said to them, أَذْهَبْتُمْ طَيِّبَاتِكُمْ فِي حَيَاتِكُمُ الدُّنْيَا. That you exhausted your pleasures. أَذْهَبْتُمْ comes from the same word as ذَهَبَ, which means to go. ذَهَبَ means to go. It means you أَذْهَبْتُمْ طَيِّبَاتِكُمْ. You used up and you exhausted all the blessings that you were given, all the pleasures of this life. فِي حَيَاتِكُمُ الدُّنْيَا. In your worldly life, وَاسْتَمْتَعْتُمْ بِهَا. And you enjoyed them. فَالْيَوْمَ تُجْزَوْنَ عَذَابَ الْهُونَ. And today, on this day, you're going to be awarded, you're going to be rewarded with punishment because you weren't grateful, because you weren't thankful for the blessings that you were given. So, basically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about how an individual should show thanks and be grateful to to him for all the blessings that he's been given in this life. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we're thankful for all the blessings that we've been given, and that we can respond to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we can from those who will be from the inhabitants of Jannah on the Day of Judgment, inshallah. So this is the end of this the tafsir of this surah, and inshallah next week we're going to be covering, or we're going to be starting the tafsir of Surah Al-Qari'ah, inshallah. If there's any questions, then I'll do my best to answer them, bismillah. Tayyib, jazakumullah khair. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.